In Dick of the Week, we talk about dirty stuff and use dirty language. We're rated M for mature. Listener discretion is advised.
Dick of the Week. Dick of the Week.
Dick of the Week. Dick, dick, dick.
Dick of the Week.
Dick, dick.
Dick of the Week.
Dick of the Week.
Dick, dick.
Dick of the Week.
Give me that D, yo.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Dick of the Week.
Hi.
It's Stephanie and Liz again. Yay.
We are back.
We are doing it. We are doing all the things. As always, I assume if you're listening, you understand what this podcast is. But if not, Dick of the Week is where we discuss everything we love and sometimes hate about romance novels. Well, have you read anything that you're loving?
I read the second Catherine Nolan book in the two sisters.
Oh yeah.
Oh god. Why don't I have it pulled up? I am. Ooh, we're sitting here hanging out.
We've only been sitting here talking for an hour.
I get caught slacking. It's called Strictly Professional by Catherine Nolan.
I literally, you told me about these books and I got so excited and I wrote them down somewhere on one of my many notepads. Oh, not The Marrying Kind. That's why. I was looking at my Kindle Unlimited books I have downloaded. I'm like, what is this book?
Yeah.
That is it. Okay, yeah. Cool. I will read that after I finish the two current books I'm in the middle of.
They're both really good. She's really, really good at building tension and she makes characters that are... you know how, like, I feel like in romance novels, you have to write a character that's real, but you have to add like a little bit of something to make them fun to read. It's kind of like in an improv scene, like it's not enough just to be yourself. You have to do like a little bit more. So she's very good at doing that without making it performative and like bad. Because you know, one of my biggest gripes is like when a book tries to be funny, but really it's just juvenile. Or like when when something's trying too hard, I don't do well with that. Well, she's fantastic. The fun thing, so this has nothing to do with the book, but she, in Lucy Score's fan Facebook group that every indie writer in the world has, Catherine Nolan did a 24-hour turnaround on a short story. So apparently Lucy does these once a month or something. I just joined her group recently because I found some of her books that I really enjoyed. But Catherine basically asked the group a bunch of questions. And they set her up with like a prompt, basically. Like they told her what kind of characters they wanted to see, where it was going to take place, what time period, all of that. And she ended up writing this badass short story about two women, and they're at a roller rink. They end up having sex in a Blockbuster.
What?
It was fantastic. I don't know. I loved it.
What year did this take place? If there's a Blockbuster
in the 90s, I think. I kind of glossed over when it took place because I just like dove in, and then like all I can think about is the sex scene. So.
That sounds really fun.
That's typical me, though. What I can tell you about the story is the sex. Very good sex. She writes really good sex. Like, really good. And she's also... I joined her fan group thing because she's fantastic. She's a lovely person. I started following her on Instagram. She lives in Philly. I don't know. She just, like, loves music. And I think we have very similar interests. So, except she likes to go hiking and stuff. And that's, like, not my bag. But,
well,
like, as far as...
this sounds like she's me, then.
Yeah. Well, that's
similar
it.
Similar interests with you, plus likes nature.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, you'd really enjoy her, I think. But, yeah, she, like, likes the same kind of, like, classic rock music and, like... I don't know. She's the writer I recently discovered that I'm, like, probably going to read all of her backlog. And patiently wait until her next books come out because she's my new fave. And then
Catherine Nolan.
Yes. I've been abusing my Libby.
Oh god. God fucking love the library.
Jordan is making fun of me because every time I talk about it, I'm like so pumped about it. And like he was like telling me for like over a month to do it, and then he set it up for me. But I love it. But I've been getting books off of there, and so I'm going to be reading the Talia Hibbert books. I've got two of them in there right now, so I can just back to back read one and two. And then I was reading Tiffany Rhea's it's a Harlequin book, but the first one's called The Halloween Treat and the next one's called A Naughty Holiday, and it's like it's the different holidays, but I don't know, it was like it slapped. It was a so the first one I read was, it's on the Blaze imprint,
Which is a steamier one, right?
Yes. But yeah, Tiffany Rhea's, her Halloween treat was a delight. It was basically old high school friends 10 years later. And then I had, and then it wasn't even because we were about to do this podcast. It was just because I was in a bad mood. I went ahead and read all of Mika Usher's books.
You read all of them?
I read all four of them because I was...
Oh my god, because when we talked the other day, you were on Something So Sweet, which is the first
Homie, I was in a mood, and I was like, I just need to read some comfort.
Honestly, Mika is straight up comfort read for me.
If
I'm in a slump or in a shitty mood, like, that is something I know I can go into, and
when you get to the first one, I get so mad at him. I love him, but I get so angry at the end. And I just cry for like the last probably 2.5 chapters. Claims like, you could have just sent one text message anyway. But people are flawed. But like, that's how you know that's how you know it's a good book, is if on the reread you're still crying.
Right. No matter how many, yeah, you're still just fucking emotional with everything going on.
So yeah, but the first one, I think, I love Nate. Nate's my favorite. Here's the mixed bag of it all.
I think Ben's my favorite.
I think Nate is my favorite of the dudes because I married a Nate. Period.
Yeah, you did.
I just did.
Yeah, you did.
But I think of the women, book one.
Really? I would have thought you'd be a Sunny.
Sunny is like too much like me. I don't know that I would want to actually spend time with her. Also, gotcha. I'm not as surly as that. I don't know. I don't think I enjoy.
No. You're definitely not.
I don't think I enjoy surly as much. She put my boy through it. You know what I mean? Like, because Ben is my boy.
Ben is my favorite. Nate is a very close second.
Ben's my homie, so she puts my boy through it, and I don't know that I like that so much. But I guess he puts her
people
through.
People are
going to
be so confused because
anyway, sorry. Anyway, we'll talk about
anyway.
Anyway,
yeah,
that's what I did.
This will all be on the later part of the podcast. Sorry. Because we're talking about Mika's books in this podcast. Woo! But yeah.
I need comfort. So I read a couple new things, and then I read Mika's books. And then we talked about doing this after I suggested it after I had started reading her books again.
Well, you mentioned it, and I was like, well, how about, and you're like, yes, and yeah, and then it
snowballed from there. What about you?
Here's the thing. I feel like I'm being very fucking slow with books right now, and I don't understand why. I feel like I'm in the middle of several books, and I'm enjoying them. I'm just being very slow.
Okay.
I read, because it's March now, which means Liz starts reading Irish books.
We love to see it. It's Liz in our natural habitat.
Especially when it's Irish people with bars.
Heaven help everyone. I think the series that you were telling me about, I have read, but go ahead.
Which one?
The one where the internship.
Oh, that, yeah. I'm in the middle of that one. But so I'll talk about the one I so far, no bars have been involved with any of the Irish books I have read or started. But I read Too Far to Care by Jen Lurussen. I'm going to assume that's how you pronounce it. Lurssen. And I'll read the little book thing. Jane Pryor is a bike messenger in San Francisco. Cute, driven, fun, but horrible at relationships. When Jane puts her heart out there, she gets an unwelcome response and is crushed. A day later, she meets someone who heals her heartbreak. She and her best friend TJ attend a wedding together and both meet the possible quote-unquote ones. The only catch is they both live thousands of miles away in Ireland. Niall is a charming, handsome pub owner. Okay, I lied. There is a bar. Niall is a charming, handsome pub owner who's very loyal to his family and country. He and Jane decide to try a long-distance relationship. Can Jane and Niall make a really, really long-distance work? Have they fallen far enough? I thought this book was cute. It wasn't like my favorite, but I thought it was really cute, and it is on Kindle Unlimited, which is a plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into it. They meet, so TJ and her, their besties, they go to a wedding of, it's like a good coworker of his,
mm-hmm.
and he ends up interested in the bride's, one of the brides, it's two brides, one of the bride's sister, and she is into that same bride's brother. So the two of them fall for the same family.
Aww.
And yeah, and it's cute. His girl, though, which, I mean, they're just like, you know, kind of like secondary plot or whatever. His girl was already planning on moving to the States, whereas Niall had been planning on staying in Ireland because he runs his dead dad's pub. And he feels that it's necessary for him to stay there to, like, kind of carry on the family, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, it's cute. I mean, long distance fucking sucks, even with modern technology, and they're dealing with all that, and they get into fights because of it, which is understandable, but I thought it was a cute, fun read, and that was actually one that I read pretty quickly during my, like, everything feels like it's taking, like, a week to read, when normally I read a book in, like, a day or two.
Yeah.
I've also, I'm not done with it, but I'm in the middle currently, because I feel like I am also in a historical mood at the moment. I am currently reading book 3 of the Bare Knuckled Bastard series by Sarah McLean, which is called Daring and the Duke. And I will give a full report on that probably our next episode. But so far, I am quite enjoying it. And I'm very excited to see how it ends up, because it's like the guy who's been the bad guy in this entire series is suddenly like being redeemed.
And I feel like that's tricky business.
And I feel like Sarah is pretty good at doing that to guys that you're like, there's no fucking possible way I could ever like this person.
And she's like, bet, I'm gonna do it.
Yeah. And she is a badass. The heroine of this book, her name is Grace, because her brothers run, like, they're the bare knuckle, the three of them are all the bare knuckled bastards, and they run, like, this, you know, under the table black market kind of smuggling thing of things that the crown would typically tax. They smuggle into England, and, like, you know, bourbon and wigs and whatever other items you could possibly think about. But not only are they, like, rich as kings or whatever, but they take care of the people in the underbelly of London and, like, make sure they have jobs and give them a much better quality of life that they would ever possibly have. So you're like, yeah, you do that Robin Hood thing and you steal from the crowd and you steal from all these people and you make that money and keep the people safe. But she runs a lady, pretty more or less a whorehouse, where women of the ton go there and they have to be masked, and they go there to, like, have, you know, find their pleasure. And
nice.
She, you know, provides the fantasy, whatever fantasy they might want. Whether you want to sit in this room with other people, you know, other rich ladies of the town, and, like, hot men will kind of walk around. And it reminds me a lot of the scene in Magic Mike XXL.
Oh, yeah. In the house.
Yeah, the house that, oh my God, what's her name?
Jada's house?
Yeah, Jada Pinkett Smith's character's house. It reminds me kind of a lot of that, where, but, like, you know, they have to have, like, a full sense of secrecy so the women don't feel outed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you can be there for various events or things, but it's also like, oh, you show up there and you're set up with your male companion and you get to go live out whatever fantasies you want behind closed doors. So she's in charge of that, which I think is fucking awesome.
That is fun.
So, yeah. I will see how that concludes next time we're on this. Nice. And Sarah McLean recently announced her next series, and I'm ecstatic. And I can't fucking wait for August for those books for the first one to come out.
What are they, bars?
It's still kind of sticking with it, like, more like the underbelly of London.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, you sent me the screenshot. It's like badass ladies. Time, right? Yeah.
It's like the badass ladies of London kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, they have a girl gang.
Yeah. Girl gangs are good.
And it's girl gang, and these are all women that are actually still part of the, like, the Ton. Like, they're all ladies, but they have this girl gang on the side doing crazy shit, and I'm so excited. And it's a character, well, the first book is a character that the majority of her fans have been waiting for years. So people are very, really excited that she finally gets her story. And she's attached to who she always refers to as the American, who runs a bar in Covent Garden, so the not so great area of London where the bare knuckle bastards and all of them are. He helps run this one bar. The sister of the Duchess who secretly runs that bar. So nice. I'm very excited.
Cool.
She definitely gives me some of my favorite historical. Which one day we'll do a historical. Yeah.
We were talking about that. I haven't read a whole lot, so I'm excited to dive in. Specifically, yeah. Sarah McLean is like the one that I'm probably the most.
We should do a Sarah episode.
That sounds great. I'll spend a couple months just reading a whole backlog, and then we'll get to it. That's apparently how I roll for these episodes.
I will probably do a bunch of rereads too for that because it just makes me happy.
All right. Well, should we take a quick pause and then?
Yeah, let's take a quick little break for a commercial and then we'll jump into it.
1,026 years ago, superstition and the sword ruled. It was a time of fear, a time of gargoyles! Roar!
Liz, what are you doing?
Oh, hey there, Daniel. I didn't see you. I'm just watching Gargoyles.
The mid-90s Disney cartoon?
Yeah.
And do you always yell along with Goliath?
Do you not?
Fair point.
So, did you maybe want to watch with me?
Oh, and then make a podcast about it? Hells yeah!
Yes, I'm so into it!
We are Defenders of the Night, the most trusted source for top-to-bottom coverage of everyone's favorite mid-90s animated program, Gargoyles! Find us at calamitycast.com or your favorite podcatcher.
Roar!
All right, and we are back.
Yes, we got a two-parter for you today. Well,
yeah, we're like a combo.
It's a combo meal. I feel like the second part of the combo might be something we touch base on another time, but I think it really applies to Mika's universe building.
Yeah, so we were discussing what we wanted to talk about for this episode, and we were thinking about different tropes that we enjoy or have seen done well. Mm-hmm. And we, because Stephanie was doing a reread of all of Mika Usher's books, we were discussing how in several of her books, the family dynamics and relationships are really important.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get tropes like best friend's brother or sibling's best friend. Mm-hmm. That happens in two different books. Book one, you have
cousins.
Ex's cousin,
and like
which is like
overbearing aunt / mom.
Yeah,
she essentially gets to experience the same relationship twice, which is like, I love it so much. What a good fun time.
Yeah, in several of the books, its siblings are the main characters. For three of her four books, you get to really see their relationships with each other within that, which also plays a big role in the development of the characters as they, you know, each book goes on.
And I think it also, if you're a good writer, you're able to like differentiate the relationships well enough to where it's not stale. So because we have basically best friends, sibling best friend and, okay, wait, hold on. I'm stupid. Hold on. My best friend's sibling and me tropes twice. But you get to experience how the sibling experiences that differently. Like, both times it's different. So we've got, I guess if we get into it, I'm complicating it so hard right now. But basically what the relationships are different. Let's just go through the books.
Okay. So book one of the Breakaway series, which is her first series, is called Something So Sweet. And that is a book that is a little less connected to the others. There's a friendship connection to book two, which is how it all is interconnected. But the main character, Tierney?
Yep.
I know I've questioned it before, and then Mika has told me how to say it. Full disclosure, friends with the author. So, like,
do with that what you will. As a listener.
Yeah.
But it was my idea to do this, so I am acquaintances with Mika, so.
Well, and you're the one who introduced me to her books well before I knew her, too.
Oh, that's true. Yes, I did. Yeah. I read them on Radish.
Mm-hmm. And you were like, you really need to read these. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And then my friend Aaron also said, hey, you really need to read these. And I said, okay.
Yep.
So I was like, I guess this means I need to read these.
Yep. Yeah, I forgot that that's true. That's funny. We always talk about how small the indie world is.
Yeah.
It is very small. Okay, so anyways. Yeah, full disclosure, this podcast is very, we stan. So it's fine.
And like, if you've listened to any of our episodes, you probably have heard us talk about Mika like 50 times out of the 52 episodes. So
50 million times at least. At least. So anywho, it is what it is.
So Something So Sweet, which is actually the least steamy of all of Mika's books. Mm-hmm. Her books progressively get steamier as you go.
Which I think is such a fun thing that indie writers specifically are like embracing, because it's like basically it's all, like, the reader can tap out at any time that it's too much for you can tap out. It's fine.
And I don't think it was necessarily something she meant to do. It just naturally happened. Like, each time she read a book, she like got more comfortable, I think.
Could be. Yeah, that makes sense.
With writing the sexy stuff, and was like, oh, I like this, and that's mm-hmm. what I like to read, so I might as well add a little bit more.
Which is so funny. It's so funny that the fourth book does have, like, steamier, considering who the characters are. But go ahead. just makes me laugh a lot. I love it. I love it so much.
So Something So Sweet. Tierney is coming back to this small town, and all of them take place in Michigan, because Mika is from Michigan. But they take place in fake towns that she and our friend Christina created together.
Which is adorable. Very precious.
Christina's books take place in the same universe, which I think is a very fun thing.
And you get to see one of the characters in this one. So
yes.
Actually, you see two of them. You see two of the characters in this one.
Yeah.
When they go to lunch. But yeah, so this one is basically she comes home. She starts coming home more is what we find out that she hasn't been coming home. And she comes home for her dad's birthday and like makes a big fucking scene and runs into the cousin of her high school sweetheart who she broke up with and broke his heart and left town and everyone hates her for it. And like you think that that's being verbose, but like they legit do not like her because she broke up with this kid because he's like the golden boy of the town. So like
he's the major golden boy. Like it'd be like if any of you watch Heart of Dixie, it would be the George of the town that she broke up with. If anyone understands like, that reference.
Well, and like she broke up with him and was like, because this town isn't enough. Bye. And then didn't come back a whole lot. So but his cousin is at this party after she makes an ass of herself. And then he makes an ass of himself to like save her. And they're both in the kitchen, like, chatting and flirting. And she's like, damn, all right, you grew up to look good. Because he was, like, an awkward, skinny, weird kid, which we love that.
He was the younger cousin, but only by,
a year.
It wasn't like he was, like, 10 years or 5 years younger or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, she always thought of him as her ex's younger cousin. And now he's, like, this sexy-ass baker boy.
Yep. And so, but then her ex shows up. It interrupts this first interaction and they go to lunch. It's like a whole thing. But the great thing about this one, I think, is so the main character, Jack, when he was a teenager, he's from a privileged upbringing. His dad owns like most of Michigan is like what we get the gist of. And he like, so this kid was like in like, he was like in prep school and everything and got kicked out. So he got sent to go live with his cousin. And so this is her ex's mom who hated her to begin with. Like, just hated her in high school because she was a troublemaker. And she was. Like, you get, like, little stories about what happened. And, yeah, she was a troublemaker. Like, she was basically his rebellion. Like, that was why he dated her. It was because
Yeah.
She was wild. And he says as much at a certain point. It's like super great that the story is not about them, because that'd be super off-putting. But the cousin had a crush on her first, and it's just great. It's the dynamics are great. But the mom slash aunt, she for a second time has to face this woman who fucking hates her. And I love it so much. And like, it's great because this boy, Jack's not a boy, he's a man, but he basically, because he has like all of these abandonment issues from like his mom not being alive and like his dad kicking him out. His mom's not alive, right? Am I making that up? Yeah, she's not alive. That's a whole thing. But he's like got all of these abandonment issues, so like he kind of lets his aunt get away with like a lot, whereas like her ex does not. Her ex actually stands up for her. So there's like that dynamic of like not feeling good enough. And it was really fun because you can tell that these two men like love each other, but they're super competitive. So,
oh yeah, like they're more like brothers than cousins, and which is why that this fits this whole thing.
It's not even really a triangle though, because like she never really even considers her ex.
Oh gosh, no. If I remember correctly, the ex flirts a little bit, but it's nothing serious.
He has a girlfriend when she gets there. Like, he, like, they go to lunch and his girlfriend pops up. Like, he has a whole ass girlfriend when she gets there.
Which makes no sense why the town is still so against her. Like, he's happily moved on.
Well, and then he breaks up with the girlfriend when she gets there. Yeah. So, but, like, I think he's, like, entertaining the concept of her. Because, like, their date is real flirty and, like, but for her, it's like, reminiscing. For him, it's, like, a little, but I still don't think he even really considers it. I think there's, like, a little bit of, like, a, maybe. But, like, once he sees his cousins there, he's really jealous.
I think it's more, it's making him miss the past and also making him realize that his current relationship is not at all what he wants it to be.
Or his current life is what we get to by the end. So, basically, her showing up, like, turns his whole entire life upside down. But, like, there's, like, a little bit of jealousy. And you can, like, tell that he maybe isn't. It's more competitiveness than jealousy, like, for her. It's more like he's upset that his cousin is, like, with this vivacious woman who's fun versus him being with this like tiny terrorist. But in Jack's head there's a triangle.
Yeah, and Jack hardcore. Just feels guilty, I think, more than any, like,
it's, well, inadequate, like, oh. Too, like, he at one point is like, don't compare me to him, and she's like, I never fucking did. And like, and that's like the crux of the book, and I think it's done so well, because it could have been, I mean, like that trope, the battling siblings in a love triangle could be just bad, but it's so good. And also good.
Creepy. Sometimes it's really creepy, where it's like, oh, you screwed this one relative and now you're with another guy. Like, that's weird.
But, like, she did it perfectly. There's enough time lapse. There's enough, the fact that, like, the ex-boyfriend doesn't really want her.
Yeah. It's more like it dredges up old feelings.
Yes.
But it's not real.
But, like, that's so great. But, yeah, so that's our first introduction. And I think it's a really great way to do a love triangle with relatives without it being creepy, awkward. It's awkward, but not in the way, like, is a bad read. Like, it's awkward exactly how it's supposed to be awkward. Like, where she goes to family dinner. And the entire time she's, like, basically, like, it's, like, the picture by picture of, like, what it was like when I used to come here as his girlfriend, and now I'm here with him. Like, and I think that's really fun, and like, it's like silly. And I think that's why maybe she's my favorite of the female leads, because the way she handles it, like, for her, she can acknowledge how absurd it all is, but at the same time she's like, fuck it, I'm doing it. And I kind of love that mentality of like, I know this is going to be terrible, but I'm doing it anyway.
She's a little bit less emotionally fucked up as some of the other female heroines.
Well, and like, she's also like kind of willing to roll the dice, where I feel like, I honestly feel like the rest of them will not roll dice.
They're very stubborn.
I think like the other three are way less go with the flow.
Oh, yeah.
I think Tierney is like, I'll try it. And I mean that's why her friendship works so well with the second heroine, is because it's very much, I don't believe this, you can't tell me anything, in the second, whereas Tierney's
she
like,
she and Kat are very yin and yang, like, they balance each other out a lot.
Tierney is emotionally way more open to trying and jumping, whereas Kat is more physically in that way open. And
I think
that's why I like Tierney so much, because I can relate way more to that, where I'm, like, very much, I'm very cautious when it comes to, like, I don't know. Like, it was like life stuff that Tierney's really cautious about, like changing her job. Like, okay, another thing about Mika's books that you will love is that the careers of these women matter.
Yes.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Anyway.
Yeah, so Tierney works within publishing.
Yeah, and so she, and that's what she wants so bad to do.
And she's currently working a job that's kind of like, but like she's
it's viewing
it as a way to like get to what she really wants. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason like actively coming back home to this small town worries her that she's not going to get her goals.
Yeah, and so, and that was why she left. And so there's like a, there's like an urgency in her to succeed on that platform. But like the best part about it is like she realizes she doesn't have to do it the same way that she doesn't have to do it the basic way. Like she could build, she can make her own path. And I think that's what Kat really helps as a friend. I think that's the yin and yang, is Kat's like, you can do what you want. And yeah. Tierney is like, oh yeah, I have just been kind of settling and that's not who I am. And it's great. Cause basically she goes home to figure out that she isn't a scared, sad person, and it's wonderful. And she helps Jack come to like the same, because they're the same person. Her and Jack are not a yin and yang couple. They are the samesies. No. They're samesies. Yeah. And that's really rare right now, I think, in romance novels to read samesies. Most couplings are not samesies energy, but I think they're samesies just on different places on the path. Like I think Tierney was farther ahead in like emotional development and stuff,
and I feel like they still support each other so well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they're working, obviously, when the black moment happens, that's not the case. But
yeah.
When they are in their good place, like, they...
support.
They support and lift up each other so fucking mm-hmm. well to make them both be their best selves.
Yeah, and it's because they understand each other. And it's so nice. But, like I said, I don't feel like I often see a couple where they are the same. And I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I needed that until I read that book. And I think that was actually why I told you to read it, was I was like, this is, like... this is different. This is special.
Well, I also just like the fact that I feel like in a lot of romance books, if there's a bakery involved or a baker involved, it's always the lady who's the baker. And
right.
I love that it's Jack the baker. And his love language is very much making people delicious yeah. stuff. And anything that's food related, I'm here for.
Well, I like the irony that she gets like one thing from him and then she gets a pot pie from him for a dinner, and then she never gets a baked good from him, like, throughout the entire book. And I think that's a very funny thing. Is that, like, that's yeah. his love language, and yet she doesn't get a fucking... she doesn't get a pie until the end. But, yeah, so the first book is the most unrelated, but still has the family connection that lets you... I also think it's a really smart move for a writer to do the family connections, because you're world building so much more effortlessly, especially if you're going to spin off with these characters. So, and I think that's what you see in the next, like, I think that's what you see with Kat, and like as you're going through to the friends,
yeah.
I think that's what you see is like, it's effortless because you've already been introduced on an intimate level to these characters, to where if a person's reading through the series, you don't have to do as much legwork in the beginning. But you also can flip it, which is I think what you get with Sunny. I think you get the flip of her personality a little bit with Ben. You get to see different sides of the character. So like you think you understand
sure.
them, and then it changes. So
for sure. But also the really nice thing about the Breakaway series personally is yes, it is a series and I would recommend you read it in order, but they all are standalone. You can easily read book 3 and be perfectly happy.
Yeah.
If you haven't read book 1 or 2.
But if you've read all of them, you don't...
it's better.
Yeah. Well, and like, it's... I think that's the thing about series in general. I mean, like, everything is always a standalone, I think, nowadays
yeah.
when you write a romance series. But I think, like I said, you know the character going in, so there's no adjustment period. It's like, I know what to expect from this character already. And then the author gets you, as a reader, you get to more quickly start picking up on what's different. I think maybe that's what I mean. It's like, so like, I know Sunny from this book, or I know Birdie from this book, but as soon as I start seeing them acting differently, I'm like, oh, so this is what's different. And like, as a reader, if you haven't read the other books, you don't catch on as quick.
Agreed. Fully. Yeah. You don't get the full grasp of their development.
Yeah.
My favorite thing about book 2 and 3 is actually, it's an overlapping timeline.
Oh, so yeah, that's fun.
A big chunk of book two and a big chunk of book three happen at the same time.
Yeah.
So personally, that's another reason why I think reading it in order is great, because otherwise you won't know that. Like, you can like I said, you can read book three on its own and it's fine and it's great. But knowing the shit that's going on mm-hmm. in book three is happening at the same time as a lot of the shit that's going on in book two.
It makes it so much more fun. Silly.
It is so fantastic, especially because of the sibling dynamics.
Yep.
So book two is called Good Night and Go. And this is Tierney's best friend, Kat. And our big introduction to the family that will be the rest of the series. So Jude Oliver is his name, and he's a radio DJ and local heartthrob. And funny thing is, in this book, you meet the lead character of Christina Mitchell's book that we have spoken so highly of.
Yeah. And you get a glimpse of him in the first book, too. He makes fun of Jack. So they have lunch at the diner, and Shannon's there, and there's like a little bit of like, oh, who's that? Ugh. And then they leave, and Connor walks up to them, and basically Tierney just stares at him because he's so pretty. And like, Jack's like, no, I get he's pretty. No, I get it. Thank you. I get it. And like, they say something about doing trivia night, and then they leave. But yeah, we get to see Connor in that one too. He makes fun of, they make fun of Connor for being pretty, and he makes fun of Jack for not being pretty. So
I think the only big, huge Christina universe thing is Adelia showing up.
Yes.
Because she's the pop star, or not the pop star, the rock star that Jude is interviewing or whatever. And she's kind of rude to Kat.
Yeah. Because she's rude, dude. She's the other half of the pair from Christina's book, though. So it's Connor in the first book, Adelia in the second. And I don't think the other two we see them, because they're unrelated people. So that book's basically a Kat who does not want commitment and just wants to bang. And Jude, who seemingly wants the same thing, but then it's like, but I like Kat. So why not try this?
Right. Like, he seemed like he was like, I'm not against this. Like, she's like, I'm straight up against. Like, all I want is one night stands. And the one night stand with Jude just continues to be more than one night.
Yeah.
And Jude is like, I mean, like, I'm all for the casual life. But, hey, I like you. So why not?
Why are you making this weird, brah? That's what it felt like.
Right. He was. Yeah. Like we obviously like each other in some levels. Like, what the fuck? But with this, we're introduced to the whole Oliver family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing interactions with Sunny and Birdie.
Yeah.
And Jude's best friend, Ben. Mm-hmm. And because Ben is pretty much adopted to the family. He's just over there all the time to eat.
Yeah.
Like, when they have family dinner.
And like, when you're reading Good Night and Go, you definitely are seeing, like, as a reader, you see the tension that, like, between Sunny and Ben.
Oh, hell yeah.
But
the first time I read Good Night and Go, I'm like, what the fuck is going over there? I
mean, right? But, like, it takes Jude a very long, like, an embarrassingly long time.
Oh,
to, like,
he was oblivious, which makes it even better.
Yeah, because he doesn't, like, view his sisters in any kind of adult way. And that's,
to be fair, at this point, Birdie is really young. So, like, Birdie is the youngest
sister. Sure. But, like, I mean, but, like, Sunny is an adult.
Sunny's a fucking adult.
Yeah. But, like, but that's, like, the fun thing about her books is she gives, and, like, honestly, the sibling relationship does not change. Even once Birdie is an adult, for real, reals, it is very much like they all have a very playful, and it's not, but it's not in that gross faux relationship style that drives me nuts in some books that are based on families. There's this false sense of, like, I don't know, love. It feels like a Hallmark movie, or it feels like people trying to, like, correct their own traumas of childhood through writing a family. And it's like, that's not how families act. Like, it doesn't make sense. There, no one's like that. Like, and I think this family is the perfect example of how to do it correctly. It's like, there's conflicts. There's three siblings. Someone always feels left out no matter what's happening.
No, for real. And I think that's literally my favorite thing about this family is because it's three people. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more when we get to the next book, but it's three people. Jude is the eldest brother. He's the eldest. And like, everyone thinks he's absolutely perfect and wonderful no matter what he does. And then there's Sunny, who is living this kind of hidden life. And then there's, at this point, Birdie, who is...
The golden. They think she's like...
They all think she's like the perfect golden girl. Like, she was a, you know, high school cheerleader. She's going off to college and being very perfect and this and that. Sunny, the middle one, is like, I'm living... Like, she's very much a middle child.
She's shadowed on both sides. Like, she can't...
She can't deal.
Not even a little bit.
But if it's like, it's one of those things where, like, I've talked to my siblings before. I'm like, oh, well, I thought y'all were blah blah blah, and they're like, oh, well, I thought blah blah blah. And it's like, oh, if you actually, like, it's such a real thing to be like, oh shit, we were all having these emotions.
Yep.
And making assumptions, and it's so real the way she writes them.
Yes, and it's not and. That's, and also just like the fact that some siblings are going to be closer.
Yeah.
Like, and like, even like once we've worked through a bunch of the issues between the three of them, I still feel like Birdie and Sunny are still closer in a weird way. Like, I feel like they rely on Jude for like strength, but I think as far as like friendship kind of goes, I feel that more between the two of them for myself. When I read it, I feel the friendship stronger.
Which is hilarious because initially they fucking hated each other. Mm-hmm. So I love seeing that growth because quite honestly, because of book 2 and 3, I fucking hated Birdie. I could not imagine her being a heroine. I was like, nah, I do not like her at all. I am not into this. And the funny thing is, so like by the time Ready to Run was coming out, I was already friends with Mika, and like, I think I can't quite remember if I read it as it was published or what exact. I think I was reading it on Radish as it was coming out and like talking to her about it, but I didn't have anything to do with editing or giving her beta or whatever. Mm-hmm. But book 1 of the next series, which is a spinoff, How to Get the Girl, Make a Move. That one I was actively with her. Editing and beta reading and giving advice and this and that and blah 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 blah, and I was like, honestly, I didn't know how you're gonna make me like Birdie,
right?
But I do,
right?
And even from book 2 to 3, like, I feel like by the end of Ready to Run book 3, I was already like, oh wow, I'm starting to like Birdie more.
And well, as soon as, like, they gave us, like, a little bit of, I think Sunny is what humanized Birdie for me.
Yes.
100%. Because they're the same person, and they didn't know that they were the same person, and it makes me laugh so hard. Because they're both artistic, they both feel like they're, what they're interested in is not respected by the rest of their family. They both feel like they can't be themselves with their family. And the irony is that Nate is the linchpin between the two of them, that they both are allowed to be their most selves. Nate is the reason why Sunny can do what she wants to do and loves doing. And he's also the reason why Birdie is kind of able to embrace herself, just her personality, and be herself. And I kind of like love that one person can be like so many things to two different people in the family. And I also love that, again, Mika didn't make it weird, because there never was any feelings between Sunny and Nate. Like, they have always been just straight up bros.
Well, I guess, okay, is there anything else we want to say about Jude before we...
I'm not gonna lie to you, of the four books, Jude is my least favorite hero, because overshines him hard. Like...
Well, see, here's the thing. Jude is her sexiest hero. Like, it's very much like he has the abs. He's very, like, he's known for his good looks in the city.
Yeah.
Like, he is literally, like, you know, your local, like, if you had that, like, DJ or news
Right.
Caster who's just like super hot. And you're like, everyone loves them because they're so pretty. That is what Jude is. And obviously there's more to him and he is an interesting character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, she doesn't write for
it. Oh, gosh. Yeah. And I think it is pretty common within the Mika fan base that poor Jude it's always like, if you're going to rank the four heroes, he always kind of gets the lowest. But yeah, so I mean, Jude is still great. Don't take that.
And Kat's fantastic. Also, their relationship.
Kat's hilarious.
I feel like they're also, I feel like maybe that book to me also, their conflict of all the conflicts of all of this universe is the most romance novel. And maybe that's part of the reason why I'm like, when I read it, I love the book and I love the characters. Like, don't get me wrong. But the other three have like some kind of weird element twist to it that I'm just like, into it. Like, I love Sunny hiding her fandom. Like, she has like a fucking fan base. Like, a legit, like, she's a legit cult, like, favorite thing. I love that. And then Birdie, I just love because she's just so, doesn't know what the fuck she's doing. Like, and I think that's really fun.
I really appreciate that about Birdie, quite honestly.
And she owns it. It's fun. But yeah, so I think my favorite book of the three is the Sunny Ben book, though.
Yeah, so book three, which is Ready to Run, and that is Sunny and Ben, which, like we said before, is a good chunk of it is taking place at the same time as book two. And they're having this relationship, but they're hiding it because Jude is his bestie and her big bro. And they're both like, he will freak the fuck out.
And they're like super not wrong about that. Is like,
no,
the thing about it is like, they're not. The funny thing is, I think them hiding it made it exponentially worse.
For sure.
Because I feel like he would have always had a bad response. Because again, Jude, I think, is your classic romance hero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's with Kat, so he can't be that normal. But like, there's, as far as his, he was always going to respond poorly to it and then be talked into it. Like, there was always going to be that. But because they were so scared, they made it so much worse because he's a softie. And the fact that his best friend and his sister, who he like thought he didn't have those kinds of secrets with, were lying, it made it so.
Well, it's a double layer to that. Here, I'm gonna read, because this is the one that I think, like, this is one of my all-time favorite Mika books, and so I'm just gonna read the whole description because I think it will explain some. But she sidesteps feelings like a pro. Comic book artist Sunny Oliver is prepared for anything. Rabid fans, no biggie. Zombie apocalypse, piece of cake. Her older brother's best friend, not so much. He's obnoxious, he's gross, he's hot. Back in high school, Ben Owens made her feel invisible. But now he sees her, and the way he's looking at her has her ready to drop her walls and her pants. He's a master at dodging commitment. ER nurse Ben Owens is a one-girl kind of guy. One girl a night, that is. As a rule, he does not get attached. Sunny Oliver has always been the exception to the rule. Years ago, he made a promise to keep his distance. Breaking it could cost him. But if it's such a bad idea, why does it feel so good? But neither can outrun love. With each pizza shared and every digital zombie vanquished, Sunny and Ben rekindled the friendship they shared years ago. Only this time, something's different. Will they give in to their newfound feelings, or will past promises and past hurt send them running in the opposite direction? So here's what I fucking love about this book. First off, I love that Ben is a nurse, because you don't see a whole lot of
men. And he's very good at it, too. He's very good at his job. He's
very good at his job. So the thing I enjoy about this, like, I do really like a good sibling's best friend or best friend sibling kind of trope. And I like that she's oblivious to the fact that he ever had feelings for her.
Yes.
It was like, he noticed her well before she ever thought so, but he made a stupid promise to Jude, but like, because Jude was just that typical brother, like, don't fucking look at my sister. And he's like, oh, all right. But like, I think that was a thing they said, like, when they were teenagers. Yeah. And he took that
forever.
Forever, because he's just a good, reliable bro.
Yeah.
So like, it's like, you know, shit you said to each other at 17 doesn't normally always mean 10 years later it's the same rule.
Right.
What I really like in this is it's not, Jude does get really upset, but I don't think it's just because they're keeping their relationship a secret. It's a lot of it is because Sunny has this whole other life that they literally have no idea about.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the family is more hurt that she didn't trust them to tell them that she is a comic book artist who is quite successful.
Yeah.
And has a whole fandom, goes to Comic Cons, like sells books, has fans wanting her signature. Like this whole huge part of her she shares because she thinks her family won't think that's good enough.
And it's because of what they've said to Birdie about her art. The way they talk about Birdie's art is like they elevate it to a point where her art's real art versus like I feel like there was like one day at some point had made some comment about like, well, at least she's not doing comic books or something. Like they like legit mm-hmm. had made a comment like that. And so Sunny just was like, well, they won't care about this then. And like they have a family dinner and like, why didn't you tell us? And she's like, you guys literally said this thing. And they're like, oh. But like, yeah, it's not even really about her and Ben. It's about the life that she didn't. And it's almost like, I feel like Jude almost gets mad that Ben gets to know about that. Like,
yeah, I think it's more he's literally jealous that his best friend gets to know more about his own sister than he does.
Yeah.
But she keeps that a secret from Ben for a while too.
Yeah. When he finds, and then he's also hurt when he finds out about it. Because he's like, why wouldn't you? Because he was basically like, I would have bought all of your comic books. Like, for him, it was like years of missed out opportunity to like consume more Sunny. Because it's just when in that blurb when he says like, she's the exception to the rule. It's like legit. If Sunny calls, Ben runs. Like it's not.
Yeah.
It has not. It like he has never turned his back on her.
She has never been just his bestie sister to him.
Nope. She's never had to wait for him to show up. It's legit is like, it's very precious. They're very precious.
I love them so much.
I think I love their relationship the most.
Yes. And I think that's what I mean when I say I love Ben the most is because I love their relationship.
Oh,
so much.
Yeah.
And I love how much Ben helps Sunny grow as a person.
Yeah. And then of course, you know, I love, and then when they finally, when it all the chips come out, or all the chips are on the table, or cards, whatever the analogy is. I'm sorry, I'm like, I'm trying to get this kid latched on, and I'm like, I'm speaking and doing something that I
let's just pause for a second to say that Stephanie is fucking super mom right now because she's podcasting and breastfeeding her baby. Like a fucking boss.
But that's also why I just fucking botched that analogy like so bad. Because I can't think and like maneuver her at the same time. But like I just love the realness of that. Like you would be more upset about like her whole life. And I kind of like I just read them, but that was like a week and a half ago. 2 weeks ago, like when Jude finally has a conversation with Ben about it, he was like, yeah, we talked about that when we were teenagers. And it almost felt like he didn't want him to date Sunny, but like knowing Sunny, it almost like felt like as they got older, like he's almost like worried about Ben because Sunny's like, she's a lot.
She is a lot. The whole family's a lot.
The whole, except for Jude. Jude is not a lot. Jude is reasonable. I feel like maybe that's why Jude to me is just like, whatever, because he doesn't have any spice. He's just like a good solid dude, you know.
He's a very good dude though.
Yeah, he is. Like that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. So then at the end of the third book we basically, oh, put a spoiler alert on the front of this episode because like we're just giving all the tea on these books. Shit. I mean, I guess it's not really spoilers. We didn't give you any of the conflicts of any of this, really. I mean, you can get the conflicts from reading the back. We're not giving you the deets. But basically, in the third book, Birdie is hurt because this is something her and her sister could have shared. Because she feels left out by Jude and Sunny because she's the baby. So, like,
yeah, she thinks that those two have, like, the perfect relationship, and she can't, she, no matter what she does, she's not good enough.
Yeah.
Compared to them. It's very, you know, youngest sibling, which I identify to hardcore, because I'm very much that person. And I felt like no matter what I did, I was never better than my three older siblings, or not even better, equivalent to. And Birdie very much does that, especially because Jude and Sunny are closer in age and she's younger. Mm-hmm. She struggles hardcore with it.
I like that. That's like also like the crux of her and Nate's relationship is also that, like, so between okay, so this is what I was talking about before, like each of the relationships between siblings is so drastically different because, yes, like the Sunny Jude relationship, the way she feels about her relationship with Jude does not really affect her and Ben's relationship. Like, because I think her and Ben had enough of a relationship established between each other without Jude that it was, like, fine. Like, they were worried about him, but it wasn't, like, she didn't, like, it wasn't a lens that was put on top. Whereas Birdie and Nate's relationship has the Sunny lens on top of it. Because, yes, they only know each other because of Sunny.
Nate, by the way, is Sunny's BFF.
Best friends. They do the comic book together.
Yeah, he is the writer of the comic book. She's the designer of the comic books.
He knows,
the artist.
He knows everything about her. Like, only person that can probably say that until Ben. He, in fact, Ben is, when Ben meets Nate, he feels weird about it.
Yeah.
But he really has no reason to. Birdie and Nate.
Which is technically, so initially it was book 4 of that series, but she decided instead that it's going to be book 1 of the next spinoff series, which is called How You Get the Girl. And so their book is book 1 of that series, and it's called Make a Move. Oh, I fucking love Nate. He's such a cinnamon roll. He's so cute. He's a 31-year-old virgin, which I think is absolutely fantastic to see an older male virgin, because that's so...
But he had done stuff, and he was good at stuff, is what is established, like, off the bat. Off the bat, it's established.
Yes, he is not completely inexperienced, just has not had P and V, but other than that, like, he is very, very good at getting a girl off.
And, like, that's, I feel like maybe that could be why he's my favorite. I don't know. Who could say? Who could say? But the best part is, like, he's so drastically different from Birdie's regular boyfriends.
And the fact that he's a little bit older helps, too.
But, like, that's what he thinks, though. Because we get a taste of Birdie at a con in book 3 with her boyfriend.
Oh, I forgot that. Yeah, she was at a con that they were at, and that's how she found out that Sunny does this.
She actually knew the book too, which is, like, I think that's, like, she was like, you're the artist on this book. So yeah, but she runs
really
into
hurt her feelings.
But she's at a con with her jock boyfriend who's dressed up, and they're in cosplay. If I'm not mistaken, they're in cosplay. Yes. That sounds right to me. But anyway, so...
Or at least,
like,
she was.
But, like, Nate in his head is, like, Birdie dates jocks, which is true. But Birdie, like, dated all these golden boys, and then she meets this, like, little sweetie pie. But one scene that sticks out of my head, it has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, is Birdie's mad at him and is leaving. And Nate says, please don't go. But he doesn't stand in front of her or grab her arm. Yeah. And doesn't, like, put any physical barrier to her leaving. And I just was like, that's Nate. Love that. We love to see it. We love to see it. The best part about that relationship was, like, the difference. So Jude didn't want Sunny and Ben to date for, like, dumb Big Brother reasons, probably, but then also, like, Sunny's disposition. But, like, the reality is they're worried about Sunny because Sunny doesn't like to share. Like, Nate is her friend. And
Nate is her only friend outside of her siblings.
And so, like, there is, like, a real fear there that, like, if she finds out about it, it's going to be, like, a reckoning. And Sunny's scary, so, you know.
Sunny is really scary.
But, like, I'm not going to, like, spoil her. I'm not going to spoil Sunny's reaction because I feel like it's one of my favorite things. Sunny has a bigger heart than people really realize.
And I think that's one reason why I really love her, especially as like, not even necessarily because of her book, but just as the series develops, is like seeing how Sunny reacts and does things.
Sunny in the fourth, in Nate and Birdie's book is so awesome.
Yeah.
Love it. I love it so much.
I mean, Nate and Sunny's relationship is just fucking fantastic. Like, I love a good male and female
friendship,
bestie ship.
Yep, agreed.
I 100%. Love it. I love it.
You don't get to see it a lot, and it's really weird because, I mean, they happen. They all don't turn into relationships. I mean, I married my best friend, so I can't, I guess I shouldn't, like, I can't be like, that's weird. Because, I mean, yeah, and then the boyfriend I had before Jordan was my guy best friend for 2 years. So, I get it. But I have lots of guy best, like Dan Granda was my best friend through college.
Yeah.
There was never anything there. He's married to my best friend. I've been friends with so many guys. So I love in books when you actually have a relationship where there's no, like in Sunny's book, never would have thought the two of them would get, you know what I mean? Like there was, I never had like a moment of like, why aren't they together? Like there was never that. They are just friends.
Yeah.
Oh, and then also, again, another plug for why Miko's books are amazing. Everyone's careers matter. So like in the fourth, in this, in Nate and Birdie's book, his career aspirations. Oh my God. Like the way she writes that. I'm not going to spoil it. Cause I want you to see it. Cause that's part of his dynamic with Sunny. Again, another place where Sunny shines, I think, is her reaction to Nate's goals in life.
Yeah.
It's just, they're just good books. All right.
All right, y'all, just fucking read them. Go buy just, these like, fucking just books.
Fucking buy these books and fucking read them, and then fucking contact us in one of the million fucking ways you can. Tell us how much you liked it, and then guess what? You can be a guest on the show, and you can have a couple minutes to say why you like the book. We'll do a Mika take two, and we'll have people send us voice clips of why you like it so much, and we'll put it on an episode, or we'll put it on our social media. I don't know. I just
we'll figure it out.
She is one of my favorite indie writers. She's an indie writer that doesn't make juvenile characters, because I feel like when people try to write rom-coms or write funny books, they make them sound so juvenile, and it makes it like, or makes it stupid, or makes it like weirdly vague. So like you can't, there's no personality behind the joke. Mika doesn't do any of that. She actually writes funny fucking books, funny situations. And then also she does, some characters aren't funny. That's a good book. All right. Cause like,
not Nate, everything needs to be funny.
I don't think Jude's funny, period. All right. But Kat's hilarious, but like she has different kinds of personalities. Every heroine's not the same. Every hero is not the same. There's diversity in personality. Like I hate when you read a series and you can't tell the difference between the female heroines, because they're just writing the same lady over and over again. It's like, even if I like that character, I get very tired by book two or three, you know?
Oh, agreed.
And Mika, every single one of these women are different. Every single one of these men are different. Every relationship is different. Even the friendships are different. Ben and Jude's relationship is nothing like Kat and Tyranny's relationship.
Exactly.
And they're both good relationships.
And I like, because I feel like it's so easy with siblings that you can accidentally make them all see the same, seem the same. And in this, like, they are all very different individuals, and their relationships with each other, like, within it all is very different. And it evolves and it grows. And it's nice because Make a Move, Birdie's book, is several years later. Yep. So
we get
it's
established.
Cool. It's cool to see how Sunny and Jude have both grown in their established relationships and what's going on with them during Make a Move, which is cool. Fantastic. Also, like, not to brag, but the book is dedicated to me.
I love it. I love it so much.
To Christina, Erin, and Liz. That's me. It. That's fucking me.
That's me. I love it.
I cried when I saw that.
Of course you did. That's so sweet. I love it. I love it so much. But like, seriously, of all the indie writers that I read, Mika is one of the best ones.
Yes.
Period. And I read a lot.
Yeah, so do I.
I read entire fucking backlogs. Like, I will read a backlist. I will do it. And there are very few that come close to the joy. I don't reread romance novels typically.
Yeah.
But I've reread Mika's. This might have been my third or fourth rereading them. So
I have reread Mika's and I reread Sarah McLean. So if I'm putting Mika on the level of how much I love Sarah McLean, then there we go.
I mean, like, the things I reread are usually either reread classic, because, like, some, I mean, I reread Jane Austen with a regularity that is maybe embarrassing. I don't know. But I also, I mean, like, I legit don't reread. I'm, like, trying to think. The other thing I've reread the most are those Jane Austen smut later books.
Oh, yeah.
The reimagination. So I've reread those. So it really takes something special for me to want to reread.
Because there's so many other books to read. So it's, yeah, like, it does take something special to want to reread.
Well, and, like, also, Mika's books have almost, like, the comfort of, like, watching, like, Empire Records or, like,
those. Oh, my God, I fucking love Empire Records.
But that's, like, the feeling you get when you reread her books.
It's, or, like, Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, it's, like, just a comfort of, like, I know I like this. It is good. And, like, it will keep my, and it's, like, you're anticipating the part you like, which sometimes I read books and I can't even tell you what happened in them.
Yeah.
But, like, in Mika's books, I can almost, like, skip to the portions of books of the book that I like the most, which might also be why I forget parts of it. It's because I'm, like, anticipating my favorite parts, which is not a bad problem, honestly. No. Read Mika's books. They're great. We are a Mika Usher stan account.
Yep.
It is what it is, my friends. It is what it is. At some point, we're gonna twist her arm and get her on.
Yes. I've been talking to her to try to figure out what we can have her on for.
Perfect. We like that. Liz has all the connections. I don't make friends.
Liar!
I just stan people. That's all I do. I stan and then I just will, you know, give lots of compliments. I'm that drunk girl in the bathroom. I'm the drunk girl in the bathroom giving out compliments. You know what I mean? Like, those shoes are good. How did you do your hair?
I mean, those hype girls are the best, though.
I'm a hype girl, dude. And that's what
I am also a hype girl, which is probably why we have this podcast.
It is. We are a hype girl podcast. We could change the name to this podcast to the Hype Girls and no one would be confused. It is exactly what we are. We don't like really shitting on, I mean, we shit on stuff, but we don't want to do that in public because, like, what does that serve? I'd much rather lift things up.
I think we've done that twice on this podcast. And both times we were like, okay, guys, like, big warning. We're doing this thing. We don't normally ever do
this. We hate doing it, but this sucks. That's how you know something is truly abysmal, as if we are like, okay, we have to shit on it. I'm sorry. Because normally we just ignore the things we don't like for the podcast. Like, we might
be easier and happier.
Exactly. Like, on a side conversation, maybe before we start recording, I'll be like, Liz, this thing was terrible. But then it's like, I don't want to talk about that on the podcast. I want this to be a happy space where we uplift. And this is like, I feel like I like this. We've never done one of these before where it's just like a whole fan episode. I like it. I want to do more of these.
Yes, I love this.
This was like, I feel like energized and like ready to write and stuff because we just talked about like an author I love and the stories I love. So I hope that you guys feel the same way after listening to this. Go fucking buy the books. I'm going to say it again.
Do it.
Buy them.
Do it. One of my girlfriends, like one of the few people I see on occasion during this fucking pandemic, she popped over at my house the other day because she was like, the library is closed. I need books, please. So she just like digging through my bookshelves and took home a huge, because she's like newer-ish to the romance genre, and she last, like, one time she hung out at my house, she saw Red, White, and Royal Blue, and so she's like, she knew she wanted to grab that. Mm-hmm. She's like, what else should I grab? And so I was just handing her different books, like Well Met and a couple others, and I gave her Something So Sweet. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Christina's book, but so I'm hoping she enjoys dang. Those.
Christina's book. Oh, I could do a whole 8 hours.
We have.
I have. Almost anytime, anytime we bring it up, I'm like, let me talk about this book. Oh, we did do a whole episode about it, didn't we?
Yeah. Pretty, or just, at least half of it was about it.
Because I just couldn't help myself. And I will be sitting here waiting for the second book. I don't like pressure her about it, because I'm not about that life. I don't want to abuse the fact that we're friends on Facebook and I could message her. But just putting it into the universe,
We need it.
I think about it probably once a week. So.
Oh, I constantly am thinking about Shannon's book.
I'm just letting you know I'm thinking about it. I'm not not thinking about it at any given time. Christina's name pops up. I'm like, oh, Shannon, right? Like, where's that at? But like, I'm not gonna like pressure about it. You know, like there's a whole pandemic, so like. Who am I to be like, make my book happen, please? But the pressure is there karmically, just so we're both clear on that.
Okay, well, I think that pretty much that's it. I mean, like, we can fangirl forever, but we gotta wrap this up, so.
Yeah, I have to sleep at some point.
You know, as always, thank you so much for being with us. You can find Mika. She has her own Facebook stuff and Instagram and Twitter and all that. If you want to check out more of Mika, her website is mikausher.com, and that is MEIKAUSHER.com. That has all of her information, that has links to her Facebook, which her Facebook page, and also her readers group, her Twitter, her Instagram, her Pinterest, whatever the fuck you might need. All of her book information. Check it out. She's fantastic. She's hilarious. Mm-hmm. She writes some good, sexy shit.
Yeah, and get on that social media because she shares things that are delightful, little breaks in your day.
Yeah, and, you know, I help moderate her.
I would say you'll see Liz there, so. you want this in your life, I promise.
We've been bad recently, but Thirsty Thursdays are always a fun day.
Where we post just, it's great.
Well, Stephanie, pick a number between 1 and 10.
8.
I guess this works for it being nearing the end of winter. I must be a snowflake because I've fallen for you.
That's like, for some reason, the movie Serendipity popped in my head. Not that John Cusack would ever say anything that lame, but like, for some reason, that popped in my head. So that's it.
That's fair.
Man, my kid, so a little quick story before we end. When it snowed, she got to go outside the first day because it wasn't like deathly cold. But then we had a cold snap where it was too cold for her to go outside. But every time my husband opened the door, she asked for a snowball. Right? And he did it because he's a sweet, sweet angel.
He is.
But then the snow melted, right? And do you know what my kid kept asking for? Snowballs. And then she threw a fit the first time. He had to tell her there were no, the snow melted.
Oh, and no.
Now every day she checks to see if there's snow outside. And I don't know how long this is going to go on for because it's been gone for like 2 weeks or a week
Poor
and a half.
Baby.
But she's really smart, but sometimes she's still 2 years old. So.
Yeah, I mean, she is a two-year-old.
So she's sometimes a dummy. So it's fun when she It's fun when she has these dumb moments because sometimes she's too smart. And I'm like, oh, no. But then she's like looking for snow weeks after it's gone. And I'm like, okay, good. You aren't that smart. We love it. We love to see it. We love to see it.
Oh, that's too cute.
All right. Well, we will be back in 2-ish weeks.
Yeah. Talk about Irish books, probably.
Yes, because that's that time. It's Liz's time, guys. It's Liz's time.
It is my time.
All right. Have a good day. I don't know what time this is going to post at or when you're going to listen to it. I should have left it ambiguous. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you, so contact us at lnlsmutcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at lnlsmutcast. Find episodes of this and other great shows at calamitycast.com or wherever you find your podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Dick of the Week.
This has been a Calamity Cast production. For more content, visit calamitycast.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.